Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watch The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Well, it's time here in Spain to talk to Chris McCann, partner at Blevins Franks. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm very well, Howard. And yourself?
I am. Thank you very much. Well, we've got a very big subject to cover today. It's been something on the back burner for some time, and we're talking about the famous Modelo 720 or the Form 720. Now, there's been some big news about this tax form, so today we'll be looking at what has happened and how it affects residents of Spain. So first of all, Chris, since some of our listeners will be new to Spain, can you briefly summarise what Form 720 is and when and why was it introduced?
Yeah, absolutely. In October 2012, it became mandatory for all residents of Spain, where relevant, to complete a form Modelo 720. The form required individuals to provide details of assets owned outside of Spain over prescribed amounts as at 31st of December of the previous year. It's purely informative and is not a tax return or related to the payment of taxes. As regards why it was introduced, the financial crisis of 2007 had a significant impact on the Spanish economy. And typically, following such events, governments and regulators will try to find ways to prevent similar events from happening again. When the crisis hit Spain, a lot of focus was put on dealing with tax evasion, and the Spanish government, like many others in the world, intensified the search for undeclared assets that were hidden from the state. Amongst other initiatives, this resulted in the introduction of the Modelo 720. The idea was that if everybody reported the existence of their properties, investments and cash deposits outside of Spain, it would be then very difficult for them not to declare the income and gains derived from them on their annual tax returns. If an asset was not reported and later found to exist, it would be assumed that an attempt was being made to hide the asset from the tax authorities, and the source of the assets was illegal, and thus the whole amount would be taxed as late reported earned income, and in addition would be subject to significant late payment fees and penalties.
Well, there have been many complaints about the Modelo 720 rules right from the beginning, and the European Commission filed 2 infringement procedures against Spain. What were these about?
After several complaints were submitted to the European Commission, it reviewed its legality and opened an infringement procedure against Spain in 2015 for 2 reasons. Firstly, The penalties imposed for not filing the Modelo 720 were disproportionate. And secondly, that the penalties would apply even though, under income tax requirements, the statute of limitations had been surpassed. As the Spanish government never responded to the infringement procedure, the European Commission issued another notice in February 2017. According to it, the Spanish government was meant to amend the Modelo 720 penalty regime within 2 months of the notice or reply to the European Commission in response to its original questions. As Spain decided not to respond or act, on 24th of June 2020, the European Commission brought an action against Spain before the European Court of Justice.
And what's happened now?
Well, on the 27th of January 2022, the European Court of Justice issued its ruling. And after detailed analysis, the court ruled that Spain had infringed the European principle of free movement of capital. The European Court ruled that the penalties were extremely repressive and disproportionately high when compared to those applied for failing to report Spanish domestic assets and income. In addition, the European Court of Justice ruled that the absence of application of the statute of limitation to the tax obligations also infringes European principles of law.
So can you confirm, Chris, do residents of Spain still need to submit the Modelo 720 declaration each year?
Well, immediately following the release of the ruling, I read several very misleading comments on social media suggesting that the Modelo 720 was no more. This is not the case. The obligation to declare your offshore assets and what you need to report has not been brought into question. If you are a resident of Spain and own assets outside the country, it remains compulsory to accurately submit your own Modelo 720 each year if you meet the criteria, and there is no sign that this will change in the future.
Can you summarise what is changing since the European Court of Justice ruling?
Yeah, the European Court of Justice ruling obliges Spain to change the penalty regime, meaning that future penalties will be more proportionate and less severe. In addition, from now on, the statute of limitation will apply to tax obligations resulting from the Modelo 720, meaning that taxpayers will be able to rely on the principle of legal certainty, and if 4 years have elapsed since they failed to submit or incorrectly submitted the Modelo 720, the Spanish tax authorities will have lost their right to audit the taxpayer and impose penalties. If you were fined in the past for submitting your Modelo 720 late or failing to submit, you may be able to reclaim some of the penalty. However, this is not automatic and refunds will be determined on a case-by-case basis. The Spanish Treasury Department is already working on modifying the Modelo 720 legislation, and based on estimates that there are around 60,000 taxpayers that have completed the form, they expect to be faced with paying out refunds close to 230 million euros.
Well, the 31st of March deadline will be here soon. Can you remind us who needs to file a Model 720 and what they need to declare?
The Modelo 720 is compulsory for those who meet the criteria to be resident in Spain for tax purposes. It is due by 31st of March each year in relation to your non-Spanish assets owned as at 31st of December of the previous year. So this year's form will include details of your non-Spanish assets as at 31st of December 2021. In general, you're obliged to report assets if you are the owner, a settlor of a trust, an effective beneficiary of a trust, authorised signatory, or you have the authority to dispose of the asset. This includes assets held by a company, trust, or fiduciary. As regards what needs to be declared, you need to report all assets in a particular category if the value of your total assets in the category amounts to over 50,000 euros. The categories are, number one, accounts held with financial institutions, such as bank accounts, two, investments, and three, immovable property. It's important to point out that with joint assets, each owner needs to declare the full value and indicate their percentage of ownership, even if their individual share is less than 50,000.
It's very complicated, is it, as well as outrageous? So if you
it is extremely...
Yes, it
is very complicated, and I would not recommend that anybody tries to do this themselves.
No.
They should speak to an assessor fiscal who will be able to collect the necessary information, and also then will be able to fill the form in.
And as you said, it's going to be a case by case basis. So you can't do it by yourself. But people who have been living in Spain for a time have filed a form before. Now, do they need to submit one again each and every year?
The answer is possibly. If you have already submitted a form in recent years, you only need to report again if the value of an existing asset has grown by more than 20,000 euros, or you sold an asset or closed an account, or you obtained new assets. In all those cases, you would then need to submit a new form.
Do you have any other advice for our listeners about the implications of this form?
Well, for listeners who've already completed the form, I'm sure they will agree that it can be a timely and frustrating process, especially if you own a significant number of offshore assets. One way to make the process easier is to simplify your affairs. I think it's fair to say that most of our clients, most clients of Blevins Franks, who've taken our advice and restructured their affairs to improve their positions from a Spanish tax point of view, invariably end up with much simpler affairs. And so completing the Modelo normally becomes a much simpler process for them. In addition, given the reason for its introduction, it goes without saying that it's also important to ensure that your tax affairs are in order. My advice to listeners that have not yet investigated how they might improve their tax positions in Spain should invest an hour or two of their time meeting with a local Blevins Franks partner to learn about what's possible. There's no cost for an initial chat, and it could significantly reduce your tax liability, provide peace of mind that your tax planning is legitimate in Spain, and that submitting Modelo 720 is nothing to fear.
And how can people get in touch if they want to get this advice urgently?
People could could visit our website, blevinsfranks.com. They will be able to access all the contact telephone numbers of our local partners. They may also complete a contact form on the website, and somebody from Blevins Franks will be in touch shortly afterwards to suggest the most appropriate next step.
Well, many thanks, Chris. Very interesting this week, and we'll talk again in a fortnight.
Thank you very much, Howard. Look forward to it.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV Licensing.
Yes, TV Licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a like a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.